Hello, and welcome to the Faithbrook Church Messages Podcast. Whether you're exploring faith, new to faith, or actively following Jesus, we're so glad you're tuning in, and we hope that these weekly messages will encourage, challenge, and inspire you. Life is not meant to be done alone, and our hope is that these messages will lead you into a new and thriving life in Christ. Now let's listen to this message from our lead pastor, Jim Comfort.
So Terry and I were newly married, maybe 8-9 months, and I received an invitation to go into the ministry down in Texas. We were married in Kansas City area, and there was a church that needed a youth pastor, and that was started a new calling in my life when I was older. So we were all excited to go down there, and so we rented a little U-Haul and put all our belongings in this little U-Haul and said goodbye to all our families, and we were heading off to this new adventure and this church down there. And we got down there on a Friday, I think, and the people had a nice little rental home for us that we could move into, and they were gracious to help us move in Saturday, and they went away at noon or two or something like that. It was just us, and we were decorating this new home and thinking about tomorrow's going to be first day on the job, starting this ministry. It was a great time. And so Sunday morning came, and we got up, and the phone rang, and it was the pastor. And he said, "Jim?" I said, "Yeah, this pastor." And he asked me this question: "Do you know what time it is?" I said, "Well, yeah, it's like 8 o'clock. He's like, "No, it's not 8 o'clock. It's 9 o'clock. Welcome to Daylight Savings. You should have been here an hour ago." I was like, "Oh, great. What a way to start off your career, right?" But we'll be right there. We were embarrassed, and we forgot about the time, what time it was. Has that ever happened to you? Maybe you realize, "Oh, my goodness, we're past time." Maybe your alarm clock didn't go off, or you forgot to set it, and all of a sudden there is just this shock and awe when you wake up, and you're asking that very question: "What time is it?" And you know you're late, and there's a panic setting in, throwing something on, brushing your teeth. We got to get to work because you forgot what time it was. Well, we've been talking about this question this month here at Faithbrook. If you're watching online, we want to welcome you. Maybe you're newer here. We want to welcome you because there, as King Solomon said in Ecclesiastes, there's a time for everything. And Jesus knew this, and he gave the great, what the scholars call the Great Commission in Matthew 28, when he says, "It's time to go and make disciples," or make followers of Christ, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, "and teaching them everything that I've taught you to obey, and lo, I will be with you always to the ends of the ages." So last couple of weeks, we're talking about this time to go, to wake up and not be asleep, to go personally. This is what Chrissy was talking about, that how we can find someone, spend some time with someone, just maybe influence them, just might be the first steps to making some Christ-like disciples. Second, it's going to be how we can influence our community and our neighborhood, like we're going to do that today. And then next week, we're going to talk about making disciples around the world, going globally. We're going to have a missionary, a couple next week. I want to encourage you to attend. They're gracious people. They're going to be sharing what it's like to be a real-life missionary away from the United States and how we can support and bless them. But this morning, it's going to be talking about waking up to the fact it's time to go right here locally in a close range. So that theme song kind of comes from Michael Jordan's question when he rallied up his team before every game. He'd ask them that question: "What time is it?" And they would respond back, "It's game time." Because if you were going to play with Michael Jordan, you would have to be just as intense with him. He was totally committed to winning games. In fact, he was so intense and so passionate about winning basketball games that collectively the Chicago Bulls won 6 national championships under his leadership. They say that he was highly competitive, that his work ethic and his practice demands were incredible, and everyone had to step up because it was highly important. He was an intense, competitive player. Did you know Jesus was also intense in some ways? Did you know Jesus had just as much passion and conviction than Michael Jordan? And what he was convicted about and what he wanted his team to wake up to is that there are people that are far from him and far from his Father that might not spend eternity with him. And he was going to ask us to do everything we can to introduce people to him and also to love our neighbors. In fact, there are some passages in the New Testament where Jesus was kind of asked by the religious people, hey, we've got a lot of policies around here, a lot of laws, a lot of rules. We'd like to know which one of all these rules and laws is the most important. Can you just kind of boil it down to us? They were very religious type of people. And Jesus said, yeah, it's very simple. Here it is. The first commandment is to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love God because he is worthy to love him with all our heart and our mind. Everything you got. And then he said this, the second is like the first, to love your neighbor as yourself. Now, this was highly important to Jesus, to love your neighbor as yourself. And so to look around and find who our neighbor is in our community was a passion of Christ. In fact, we see this passion, we see this conviction back in the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus has been traveling and teaching his disciples for over 3 years. He's been telling them that one day he's going to go away and is getting close to that situation where he is about to leave and go to the cross. And so in his mind, he's like, man, I really need to get these gentlemen to know and have just as much intensity and passion as I do. We see in chapter 23 that he just gave him some warnings. He said, hey, there's going to be some hypocrisy. You need to be aware of that. He told them there's going to be some persecution. People are not going to like you. They're going to hate you because of me. You need to be aware of that. In chapter 24 of Matthew, he starts talking about end times, that when he's going to return, after he ascends, he's going to return, what that's going to look like, to be aware of that. Now we get to chapter 25. And in the end of chapter 25, he talks about this passion about neighbors. And he kind of equates it in a story about sheep and goats. Now, in that time and day, everyone was very familiar with sheep and goats. They were about the same size of an animal, maybe the same color of hair on them, but they were two different animals. And so he uses these descriptions of the sheep and the goat of just how desperate he is for people to wake up that we need to love our neighbors. He said this in chapter 25 and verse 34. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. And I was a stranger and you invited me in. And I needed clothes and you clothed me. And I was sick and you looked after me. And I was in prison and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, well, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you as a stranger, invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison or go to visit you? And the king replied, he says, I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. And he talked about that the righteous are the sheep, and the sheep respond and care for the needy, and the goats do not respond, and they will be in jeopardy, eternal punishment. So why did he get so intense and so passionate about, hey, there's going to be a judgment, there's going to be division. You're either going to be a sheep or you're going to be a goat. And then he brings in this story about, I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty. And they're asking, well, we didn't see you do this. What are you talking about? Truly, I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters, you did it for me. Because Jesus wanted to let them know how important it was that we love our neighbors, that we care for people that are vulnerable, that are marginalized, that are poor, that are hurting, that we have a compassionate heart on them. He raised the level. And remember back in the Gospels when they asked him, well, what's the greatest commandment? He said, well, love me and then love your neighbor. And they said, well, who is our neighbor? And then Jesus rolls out that epic story about the Good Samaritans. 2,000 years later, we still use that phrase, that picture of a good Samaritan, someone that might be a stranger that would stop what they're doing and give mercy and help to someone who is in need. In that story, the Good Samaritan, you know, they wasn't even different. They were a different race. There was a Jewish man that was brutalized and robbed, and his colleagues just walked by. They didn't have time to address his needs. But the Samaritan, who was a different race, was willing to stop what he was doing, take a risk, intercede and minister to this man who was bloodied and beaten, and kind of wrap him up, take him to the nearest inn and say, hey, we need to help this guy recover. If there's some cost, I'll underwrite it. I got this, not just with my hands, but also my pocketbook. And this is who our neighbor is. Do we see those who are in need? And by the way, he wanted them to know that when you serve your neighbor, you're also serving the Savior. When you serve the marginalized and serve the hungry and the imprisoned and the sick, you're serving me. Do you understand that? Well, when did we see you do that? Really, that's the truth? Yes. And he kind of double downs and continues in this passage of chapter 25. They also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or as a stranger or needing clothes or sick in prison and did not help you? He will reply, truly, I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Then you will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. It's the sheep and the goats. Wow, this raises the bar. This makes it pretty intense right here. Jesus is like, man, I'm not fooling around with this. You need to wake up and see what time it is. Why? Did he want to motivate us for the fear that we would have to endure eternal punishment if we don't love our neighbors, that we're like showing up at the food kitchen because, man, I don't want to be thrown into hell and into eternal damnation? Oh, no. He didn't tell us that way. He wanted us to have a heart. See, God wants to use your hands to bring his heart to your community. He's wanting us to understand, man, the alarm has gone off. You need to wake up and go. And we have the ability to be his hands, his feet, even his pocketbook, if you will, to usher in his heart to our community, especially those who are in need and might need some help. We see this, that a lot of people have picked this up, especially churches, nonprofits, some even corporations. A lot of churches are like, yes, we have some compassionate ministries. We might have a food shelf. We got some volunteers because we understand how important this is to Jesus. We understand that when we are serving our neighbor, we're really serving our Savior of Jesus. It's important to us. We want to usher in his heart into our community. And so there's all kinds of ministries, if you will. There are food shelves. There are Habitat for Humanity. There are people who sponsor children. There's Big Brothers, Big Sisters. There's mobile homes, ministry outlets. There's foster care needs. There are pregnancy crisis centers that people volunteer for. One of the ones that are evolving in our state, it's called Sacred Settlements. These are these churches that's like, hey, we got some acreage on the back of our church. Why don't we build a little settlement of tiny homes and then try to address the chronic need of homelessness and say, get off the streets, come to our backyard. We have this little village of these tiny homes, and we're going to rent you one of these little tiny homes, give you some responsibilities, give you some ownership. We're going to have some other missionaries that live in this settlement that just encourage you, to kind of disciple you. We're going to live in this community so you can break the spell of chronic homelessness. There's all kinds of inventive ways that people are like, yes, I want to get involved. Thousands and thousands of nonprofits are popping up around America because there's something about when we align our hands and our hearts with what Jesus cares about, there's something highly satisfying, highly fulfilling when we do that. We even know that corporations are like, hey, let's take the day off. We're all going to go down and help with Habitat for Humanity. Why would they do that? Sure, it's good PR for them, absolutely. But a lot of times they know that their employees are more encouraged. They might be more productive because just making widgets or making money is not very satisfying. But when we care for the needy and we see houses going up, we see people breaking out of poverty and disabilities, et cetera, there's something very hopeful. There's something very whole about this. And this is the goodness of God. This is why he's like, hey, man, it's going to be a serious deal of judgment. You're going to be a sheep or a goat, and I want you to see the need. I want to use your hands, your heart, to usher in my heart into the community. Here at Faithbrook, we take this pretty seriously, too. Compassion ministries, caring for people, it's not something that we have to or we're going to go to hell. It's something that we get to. It's something that we can partner with God and say, hey, we want to take your heart into our community. How can we do that? I've always said if Jesus was in the house, he wouldn't stay in the house. He would get out of the house and go in the highways and the byways. That's what he did. Where are the people that need some healing? Where are the people that are struggling? How can we bless you and help you? That's why here at Faithbrook, that's one of our four focuses. We have four main focuses. One is the Sunday worship experience. Second one is next gen ministries. Third is life groups. And the fourth one is what we call outreach, local outreach. How can we be a blessing in our community, Maple Grove, Dayton, Champlin, et cetera? How can we be a blessing? We have a local team here that's kind of the symbol to see how we can mobilize all of us four or five times a year. Together we can maybe donate a bunch of things, or we can show up and be a blessing through the years. Kim Burnt and his wife Michelle are leading that lay team. In fact, Kim is in the house. Why don't you stand, Kim? I just want you to, everybody know who you are? Turn around, wave. Okay, this guy's named Kim Burnt. He's leading our charge here locally. We've had the privilege through the years to just be a blessing. We want to be a good neighbor in our community here. Sometimes we have helped the Eastman Nature Center. We raised some money for some microscopes or some apps they were looking for. Lately, the last couple of years, we have shown up for the city of Dayton on their spring Easter egg hunt. They got a lot of families that come out. They need some volunteers. We just say, hey, we want to be a good neighbor. How can we help you? And we come and help volunteer. Some of you participated in Feed My Starving Children. There are kids that are really hurting physically around the world. So how can we make these different food packets? This is the heart of God, to use our hands, sometimes our pocketbooks, to usher in his heart into your community, our community locally and together. We have some people in our church that volunteer every week across food shelf and some other areas. We even have a couple of families that go and visit an inmate in a prison, trying to help him get out of prison and make that bridge into society's life. These are kind of private things that people are doing to use their talents and their time to usher in God's heart for their community. Now, one of our biggest partners here at Faithbrook that we try to align with to help meet God's passion to go locally right here is Cross Food. I call it Cross Food Shelf, but it's just food. And we're fortunate enough to have the executive director and his wife here with us, Lisa and Chad Lanners. And so I'm going to invite Chad to come forward, and we're going to have him to kind of share about Cross. How many have heard of Cross? Okay, maybe, right? Some of you, this might be a new thing to you, but every year we're like, hey, come on over and share the latest with Cross. So why don't you give us a flyover, Chad, introduce yourself and share about Cross Ministries.
Good morning, and on behalf of Cross Services, thank you, Pastor Jim and Faithbrook Church for having me out today. It's just a true blessing to be here. Cross Services, just down the road, we sit right behind Cabela's. Cross Services, Christians reaching out in social services. Thank Our you. Whole goal is to make an impact and partner up with the local churches and share the story of Jesus through distributing food. Mm-hmm. And so thank you for that. Again, Chad Lanners, I am the executive director at Cross Services, and my wife and I live locally here in Rogers, or I'm sorry, in Maple Grove. Mm-hmm. She's a teacher in the school district, And I've been around the nonprofit world for 30 plus years. I've got a passion to be a servant leader in making an impact on those who are in need, in really meeting the basic needs. Many years ago, did street outreach to the homeless in the northwest suburbs, and my career has evolved over the years. And so, Cross Services, we've been around since 1977.
Oh, how about that?
We originated with a group of churches coming together, Osseo, Maple Grove, Dayton, a few out of Rogers, and it was a belief that there was a need for a demand for people navigating food insecurity. And they came together actually in a big red barn next to Osseo Junior High called the Lord's Barn. Mm. And that's where Cross Services began. Mm. In 2004, the need just continued to grow and rise, and a capital campaign was put together. And today we sit again right behind Cabela's with a beautiful 12,000 square foot facility, making multiple impacts, but serving those in need around food and addressing issues that maybe navigate or come together with not having enough of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, how many cities do you serve, per se?
That's a great question. And so ideally, we like to stay focused on the northwest suburbs and the six cities, mm-hmm. Dayton, Maple Grove, Osseo, Rogers, Champlin, and Corcoran. However, we truly also believe that no one should ever go to bed or be hungry throughout the days. And so food is something that we try and impact across the state of Minnesota. And we actually served families from 92 zip codes in the last year. Now, we have some great programming that supports and continues to support those in the northwest suburbs, but access to food and multiple wraparound programs are really designed for the families that live right here in this community.
So it's not just food. We'll get to food, but what are some of these wraparound other helps that you can help families?
So we have ultimately, we have multiple social service programs, and we have what we call family advocates that sit down and meet with everybody that has a story to share, and so that we better understand what they've got going on, with the ultimate goal of getting food in their hands and addressing, you know, through culturally appropriate food that may fit their specific needs. But some of the great things that we believe that we can help navigate poverty or maybe break a crisis, or even those today who what I might recognize as the working poor have two or three jobs. And so we've got a boutique shop where families can come in and access clothing for their children, maybe a suit coat for an interview, new shoes, you know, a dress to go to work, those types of things. It's a really neat piece when you can, you know, look good, feel good. You go out and have a great day in the community, whether or not you're working or not. It's always important to feel good, and you can do that through accessing clothing. Mm-hmm. One of the other fun and unique pieces that we've got is a beautiful toy shop. We truly believe that we can change a family's life or a child's life by accessing a new toy. And so every child or family that comes through with a child that has a birthday that month can come into the toy shop and access toys and a birthday bag that might have plates, napkins, candles, those types of things. Really, that ability to facilitate a birthday party, so you can get a birthday bag, a few toys, and then you can enter into the food shelf, maybe get yourself a meal, some juice and some cookies, and really be able to facilitate a birthday party, which many have a difficult time doing when you don't have money, or maybe the mind is a little bit blurred based on life just isn't easy. We've got some really neat programs around financial assistance where we'll sit down and hear their story. And they can fill out some applications, and based on their need, we might help cover a bill that relates to a past bill on a utility bill or back rent on a mobile home if you're living in a mobile home, maybe a car payment to stabilize a car so your husband, wife, child could get to a job. Mm-hmm. We also have scholarships for young people. To be able to sign up for football, dance class, maybe driver's education, those types of things. And Pastor Jim, I'm not sure you're aware of this, but one in 20 kids in the northwest suburbs, we believe, don't have access to their own beds. So they sleep with mom, dad, brother, sister on a couch, on the floor. And so we work hard with some of the local service clubs where they build actual beds, and we're able to distribute beds to kids in needs with you know, a full bed, pillows, sheets, those types of things. So multiple programming pieces that we believe if you come in and access a food shelf, and we can give you maybe some other social services or wraparound programming pieces, we truly believe that you've got the ability to possibly break the cycle of poverty, or at least give them that sense of hope to change their day and week and month.
Why this is so important to us is that probably every week, our office administrator, Nancy Ramsey, she probably fields one or two calls a week and say, hey, I'm in need. We're going to help with gas or rent or food. And so she always refers them to Cross because they are better equipped to handle, to process these people. And that's why you're here, is because we're in partnership, that we want to send some resources your way. We even have some volunteers. The Anderson family, Bruin family shows up and helps with some of these boutiques and things. We know that Casey Van Winkle's family business, First Mortgage, helps a lot with some of these rent and some mortgage issues, right? A lot of players in the Northwest area are trying to be a part of helping needy.
Yeah, not only do we need the churches, but we need the individuals in their churches all to come together really to address that. You know, I show up to work every morning, and unfortunately, before I get to work, when I get to work, unfortunately, there's people waiting in line. And so at 7:30 or so in the morning, people begin to access or line up to enter the food shelf.
Demand.
Difficult.
Talk about how many people? Yeah. Two or three are showing up a day?
No, so that line tends to be 30 to 40 before we wake up or before we open our doors. But on a day-over-day basis, year-over-year, our demand's up just about 29% for the need of food. Annually, just this last year, we had just about 20,000 people who walked through our front door who were in need of some sort of service, whether it be food or some of the other programming pieces. Last year, through multiple partnerships, I'm maybe excited to share. We've got neat partners. We start rescuing food every morning at 5:30 in the morning. We partner up with 21 different grocery stores, Quick Trip just down the road, where we can rescue food and put that on the shelves. We work hard to partner up with the churches, service clubs, local schools to do food drives that will bring food in. And then we do spend money to purchase other food that maybe doesn't come through the front door. Mm-hmm. But just this last year, the need that continues to grow, we were able to put together over 2 million pounds of food that was distributed out to families in 2024. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty powerful. We know we're making an impact. And again, super thankful for the partnership and what you guys do.
Yes. Well, talk about the backpacks this summer.
Yes.
You also want to help needy families to afford backpacks or give them away.
I often think about a quick story. I know I only got like 30 or 40 minutes up here with you. Just kidding. But my wife's a teacher, and myself being in the social service field, we often observe young kids and interact with them. And I can remember, and I've got a son who's 28 years old, but I remember the day he was at the bus stop for the first time, and there was a young kid that didn't have a backpack on. You often wonder, okay, did he forget his backpack? In reality, I think most of the time is there may be something going on where they couldn't afford that. And so this year, Cross Services is working with the community to put together over 1,000 backpacks. And so as families come in and access the food and our other programs, we're able to provide every child a backpack full of school supplies that's geared towards either, you know, an elementary student or a junior high, senior high child. And so I believe when, you know, a kid feels good, looks good, has their backpack, a good night's sleep with a bed, they've got the opportunity to be off and running with a good start. And when you get a good education, that's got a shot at, again, breaking that cycle of poverty where they can go out and get a good job.
Very good. Very good. Well, we want to be a part of CROSS. We want to be a part of the backpack promotion this summer. So, and we want to thank you for coming and giving your time. Lisa, coming this morning. Appreciate that so much. We're excited what God is doing through CROSS and many other churches and partnerships. So thank you very much. Chad and Lisa, I'm going to let them leave here. They're going to be out at their booth. If you would like to meet them or have any questions, they will be available. So let's thank them. God bless you.
Thank you. Again, on behalf of CROSS Services, we're just super thankful to have you and Faith Brook and all of you guys partner up with us. I welcome anybody at any time to come out and be a part of CROSS Services. Thank you.
Thank you, Chad. Yes, very nice. So Compassion Ministries and serving the needy, you have to remember, it's not something that we have to do in fear, but it's something that we get to. And when we are serving our neighbor, we're really serving our Savior, as Jesus talked about in Matthew 25. Because God wants to use our hands. He wants to use our pocketbook. He wants to use our heart to usher in his heart to our community or your community. And so what are the ways that you can do that? Let me give you three things that kind of just give you some handles if you care to just kind of love your neighbor. One is just financially. As you heard, Chad says sometimes they just need to buy food to meet the needs and pay for staff and equipment and overhead and things like that. So Faith Brook takes a part of their budget, their operating budget, to give CROSS a check. We'd like to increase that this year. So when you give to Faithbrook, we're going to take a portion of that, give that to CROSS. But also, you can give a special offering today to CROSS. If you'd like to just do a check, you can write it out to Faithbrook. And in the memo, just put CROSS. Digitally, you can go to our app, and there's you go, and you put your amount of money in it. And then it's going to give you a menu of where that you want that money to go. It drops down, and it says designation. That's going to mean for the next 2 weeks, anything that comes through designation in our app is going to go to CROSS. And then we'll wrap all this together and send them a big, large check to say, hey, we want to partner with you and support you as you do the Lord's work, Christians reaching out in social services. So financially, we can help. Secondly, we can help with this backpack drive. So look for information next month in July. We're going to probably have 3 or 4 weeks of people collecting and buying school supplies, and there'll be a display out in the lobby where you can bring your items in this list. And then thirdly, find a way personally how you can be a compassionate person to serve your neighbor. Because when you serve your neighbor, you're serving the Savior, according to Jesus' words. So maybe there's small things you can do to help them clean up their yard, or maybe there's a widow on your block that needs some yard work, maybe a plate of cookies, maybe volunteer in some regard at your local school, your community, at CROSS Food Services, somewhere that we can use our hands to bless people and be the hands and feet of Christ. Because that's what God wants us to usher in his heart into the hurting world today. So thank you for watching today. Thank you for attending today. I want to invite you to stand with me as we close out in prayer. We want to pray for the needy in our community. We want to pray for CROSS in our world today. Man, we pray to a God that it's just you really care about hurting people. Help us, of those who call ourselves Christians and Christ followers, to really see that same thing and have that same intensity. Help us not to wake up and realize, man, we missed the appointment. We forgot about what time it is. It's time to go. Help us to go in our own way. Help us to maybe donate. Help us to show up and to care. We pray for the needy people in our community. We know that there are a lot of people stressed out. Prices continue to rise and situations. And we just pray that you'd calm their hearts, that you would protect them, that you would help them. We pray for Chad and his staff at CROSS and all the volunteers. I'm sure it can be overwhelming sometimes. I'm sure sometimes it's like hey, we don't have enough, or it gets discouraging of all the sad stories, would you encourage them? Would you let them know that people are praying and caring? We're praying for our world today as the Middle East is on fire, and there's just all kinds of refugees and issues and challenges. We just pray your will be done. We pray for peace, God. Pray for safety as we go into this world, and we know that you are behind us. You will be with us. So we go in that confidence in your love, being your people, and we ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Faithbrook Church Messages Podcast. If you're newer here at Faithbrook, we'd love the opportunity to connect with you and hear your story. To connect beyond listening today, we'd love for you to join us in person, or if you would please go to faithbrook.church/connect, fill out that form, and one of our staff will reach out to you soon. God bless and have a great day.